This week, we're going to spend a couple of days just continuing to explore the topic we began last week, preferring Jews over non-Jews in commerce. The second half of the week, we're going to begin to discuss Marufia, which I gave a brief note on the sheets about what it is. Marufia basically means a steady customer, someone who has a relationship, an ongoing steady relationship with a vendor. The question of whether other vendors are allowed to try to steal the customer away. But tonight, just want to explore some of the parameters, further parameters of preferring Jews. Some overlap with what we discussed last week, but discuss some new points also. So one question that comes up a lot, which I've seen very little direct discussion in the Poskim on point, is most of the discussion in the Poskim concerns a Jewish store, a non-Jewish store, a Jewish worker, a non-Jewish worker, Jewish supplier, non-Jewish supplier, and so on. What about indirect benefit to a Jew? For example, you're in a Jewish store and they have two brands. They have Goya barley and Geffen barley. Or you're in a non-Jewish store and they have two brands. One is Jewish and one is non-Jewish. So you're purchasing from the same store either way. Is there any mitzvah to buy the Jewish brand? Common sense, I think, would say yes. So the same way, if there are two stores, there's a mitzvah to patronize the Jewish one because I give the business, the profit to a Jew. So too, if there are two brands, indirectly, that clearly benefits the brand. But as I said, there isn't much discussion that I've seen directly on point. One possible support for this is in a tshuva in the Taaf Ostraim. Rabbi Taubes mentioned this briefly last week. His case was they developed a new process for making Kashrut Pesach whiskey. The new process was much cheaper than the old process. And some Jews still had stockpiles of the expensive whiskey, and they wanted a ban on any Jews buying from the new process. The new process would be manufactured by non-Jews. They said, buy from us, we're Jewish, don't buy from them. So Rabbi Taubes did not agree with this. He felt that people should be able to buy from the non-Jews. One of his arguments was allowing people to buy whiskey at a cheaper price point would mean there would be more whiskey on Yontif, which is a good thing, because Simchas Yontif. But so that itself is an important hetter, that when it leads to a communally desirable effect, I don't know if you can argue that having a little bit more lettuce on Shabbos, if Costco lettuce is cheaper than Shalom's lettuce, I don't know, if people are going to buy lettuce anyway, it's not a major price point, but in general, if it'll make a big difference to Simchas Yontif for the community, that itself is an important heter. But another very interesting heter Rabbi Taubes gives is that he says, Kashrut Pesach stuff, the non-Jews can't do it on their own. They're going to have to hire a Jewish crew to run the operation. I'm not sure if he means mashgichim or you can actually hire Jewish workers. Whatever it is, he says, there will be profits that will be going into the pockets of Jews. So at this point, he says, who told you, he says, the incumbent stockholders, the ones who have a cellar full of whiskey, who told you we should protect your profits? Maybe we'll give the business to the new merchants, that they'll sell at this new process at a cheaper price, and the workers they hire will get the money. So he seems to assume that even indirect profit, you'll be paying the non-Jewish commercial vendors of whiskey. Some of the profits will make their way to the pockets of their Jewish employees. That's also called preferring a Jew. So he seems to assume that indirect benefit to Jews is also considered benefit to Jews in the context of these halachas. Now, one question that comes up a lot is how do we deal with non-religious Jews in this context? Now, throughout halacha, the question of how to deal with non-religious Jews, whether we call them chilonim, tinok shenishpaz, mechal shabbos beferhesia, irreligious, not yet religious, whatever you want to call them, this is a major topic, especially in the modern generation, how to deal with irreligious Jews. A full discussion of the topic is obviously well beyond the scope of our brief talk tonight. But the point is that on the one hand, we find that in general, even a non-observant Jew, even worst case scenario, lahachis, mechal shabbos, farhesia, for no reason, just anti-religious, is still basically considered a Jew. For example, if he gives kiddushin, if he marries a woman, the woman will need a get. There is an extreme shita in the poskim that disagrees, but lahalacha, we would require a get because af pi shechata Yisrael, he remains a Jew. On the other hand, many of the privileges that a Jew has, the privileges to be treated with extra levels of the mitzvahs that apply b'radim l'chaveiro, to return an aveda, things like this, many of the privileges in chashan mishpat that a Jew has will not necessarily apply to someone like this. Now, you still can't steal from him, can't steal from a guy either. So outright theft will still be aser, but many of the mitzvahs b'nadim l'chaveiro will not apply to a non-observant Jew, certainly in the worst case scenario, one who's lahachis, a mechal Shabbos completely, who has no sympathy, who should know better. So the question is, what do we do with our halacha? If the choice is either between a Jew, an observant Jew, and a non-observant Jew, or between a non-observant Jew and a non-Jew, how do we treat the non-observant Jew for our purposes? Is he like a Jew, or is he like a non-Jew? So there's a strong tradition in the poskim to treat, in our context, the non-observant Jew as a non-Jew. This begins in the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. He took for granted that a non-observant Jew does not have the special privilege of Okan Omiyad HaMisecha to have preference in business. He said that Am She'itcha B'Torah V'Mitzvahs, the drasha is Amischa Okan Omiyad HaMisecha, Amischa, that means the Gemara Darshan's Amischa is a contraction of Am She'itcha, someone who's with you in Torah and Mitzvahs, and therefore, if he's not observant, if he's a Mumar, he does not have this privilege. Even though, as I said earlier, he points out that you cannot steal from him. All right, so you can't steal from him. And the reason the Gemara gives is because Dilma Nafki Brunin Ma'ali, maybe he'll have children who are more deserving. So outright theft, no, he says. But to be privileged like this over a non-Jew, for these purposes, he's treated the same as a non-Jew. And this is probably the consensus view of many of the later poskim, especially in his school, Machne Chaim, Shraga HaMeir, the Tshuva of the Menachas Yitzchak, which we've been doing, we assign tonight, tomorrow. He also takes this for granted that a non-observant Jew will be treated identically to a non-Jew.
Does he make any distinctions within these levels, like somebody who just never knew? Or
get to that in a second.
Okay.
So, as a matter of fact, Dayan Weiss, in his Tshuva in the Menachas Yitzchak, he talks about a big chain store. He mentioned something called that there were people who were Aktionären, which from context sounds like that means shareholders. So there were two arguments. He said, even if they have some Jewish shareholders, they won't be treated as a Jewish store. First, because Batel Echad Min Elef, they're a very small percentage of Jewish shareholders. Second, because they're not religious. Now, I have no idea why Dayan Weiss takes for granted the shareholders are not religious. A large publicly traded company, this is 1959, but a large publicly traded company in all likelihood does have religious shareholders, certainly if you count indirect ownership through pensions and mutual funds and, you know, broad market stock funds, S&P 500, again, there are going to be, there are almost certainly in any major public company, you'll find at least one observant Jewish shareholder. But the other argument is that it's Batel Becher Min Elef, the observant Jewish shareholder, not going to be a significant stake, usually. In any event, Dayan Weiss also follows this tradition of treating non-observant Jews as non-Jews for our purposes. Now, regarding the question you raised about Tinuk Shenishpa, Jews who are not really their fault, this raises a very interesting question. Because again, a full discussion of the category of Tinuk Shenishpa is beyond the scope of our talk. There are many contexts in which we say that a person who means well, doesn't know, didn't have the privilege of being raised properly, is not expected to know better, and for many purposes, we do treat him as a full-fledged Jew. And the argument definitely could be made that we should do that in this context too. There is, however, one opinion, at least one opinion, that of the Shraga HaMeir, Rabbi Schneebalg, I think his name is, he says that here, in this particular purpose, even a Tinuk Shenishpa does not have the privileges of a Jew. The argument he makes is that the Torah says, again, we said, Amisecha, Am She'itcha B'Torah V'Mitzvahs, if the Torah would have said, Chavercha, like the Torah often says, Shor Re'ehu, Chavero, Re'ehu, good, so a non-observant Jew is not your friend because he's not your comrade. He has a different, you know, religious outlook. But if it's not his fault, then he can be your friend. But here it says explicitly, Am She'itcha B'Torah V'Mitzvahs. He has to be someone who keeps Torah and Mitzvahs, even if it's not his fault. But he argues, the Shraga HaMeir argues, that even if it's not his fault, he's still not someone who keeps Torah and Mitzvahs. So he argues that he still would not be treated as a Jew for these purposes.
Maybe because of Raidus then?
I'm sorry?
That'd be kosher for Adas, like a person, let's say a person like.
Most poskim would say that someone who's a full-blown non-observant Jew, someone who's a Mechal Shabbos before Hesia, most poskim would say that Adas is one of the hardest things to qualify for, that even if we'll treat him as a Jew for other purposes, it's not his fault. But for Adas, most poskim would say that you consider him the same as a non-Jew for Adas. There is an opinion, there are some opinions, minority opinion, but there are some opinions that since Adas to some extent depends on decency and integrity, if the person is a moral person and follows a moral code, even if it's not strictly the code of the Torah, as long as he's not someone who's just a complete scoundrel and an amoral person, there are posts who say that he'll be believed, but I believe that is very much a minority opinion.
Most posts. The other way, I was asking, some mature Torah mitzvahs, I mean, they have to actually be kashlanis, though. So the person speaks Lashon Hara occasionally, he's not kashlanis.
I think almost everyone, okay, special edus, I don't know. I'm pretty sure almost everyone would say that someone who speaks Lashon Hara occasionally is still considered a Jew for these purposes. Again, the technical is someone who once did an Avera, Lateavana, I think almost everyone would agree that even if he's Pasal edus, even if he's an Avarian, I think people would agree that, yeah, I mean, he technically hasn't done certain mitzvahs, but like, you know, like we said, I think so. So there is one, at least one major dissenting opinion, the Yaskel Avdi, Rav Avadia Hadaya. He argues very strongly in the context of modern 50 years ago, Eretz Yisrael. He argues that we should not generally treat the Chiloni populace for these purposes as non-Jews. He has a number of arguments, and some of them are Zionist considerations. For Yishuv Haaretz, we should patronize them anyway, he says, but he makes a number of different arguments, and one of them is he doesn't feel that they're really what he calls Mumar Lahachis. He doesn't feel that they're in principled Risharim, they just don't know better than Mumar Lateavon. They have overwhelming desires to just eat non-kosher food and work on Shabbos. He has a lengthy discussion, again, that's a serious discussion of these concepts of Tinuk Shenishba, Mumar Lateavon, Mumar Lahachis are beyond the scope of our discussion, but he argues at length that a typical non-observant Jew of his day, again, about half a century ago, he argues should be considered Jewish for our purposes and should therefore have the same privileges as an ordinary observant Jew. One interesting argument he makes is that the Chassam Sofer alluded to the fact that he might have good children, which is the reason why the Gemara says you shouldn't outright steal from him, but nevertheless, the Chassam Sofer still took for granted that for our purposes, we still treat him as a non-observant Jew. Rav Avadia Hadaya says no. The fact that just because he sinned, his family, the children, he's supporting a family, we shouldn't punish his whole family for his sins. He feels that is an argument for treating him like a Jew and still preferring him. Again, you have to know the context. He was talking about the particularly Israeli question of buying Jewish or buying Arab, and he had a lot of reasons why he thought you should buy Jewish, but he does make this point that even the non-observant Jews in the modern period should still have the privileges of Jews, at least vis-a-vis Arabs or, you know, Arabs or people who are not Jewish at all. In this context, I should just close with one story I really like, which I saw a while ago.
This is also very relevant to looking for products on Amazon that you could get in Judaica stores.
Yeah, it would be a very similar issue. That buying things on Amazon that would be available Judaica or even regular stores, even hardware stores, Kugler's, wherever you find the same product on Amazon, there is a mitzvah to buy Jewish. And again, as we discussed last week, this week, I don't have the answers. I don't know. Posts are all over the map on how much more should you pay. Last week we discussed various opinions on how much more you should pay. A sixth, a third, a pruta, only if it's the same price. One very interesting opinion I saw in the Shraga HaMeir, he says there is no share. It depends. You can't give a fixed number, he says. It just depends on a person's financial means. A rich person should pay more. Poor person should pay less. I've heard Bashem certain poskim that you don't have to look at each purchase by itself. You can look at lifestyle over a year. Each time I go to the grocery and I spend $50, 5% is not that much. But if you look at my entire bill of several thousand dollars for a year, then 5% might be a significant amount. So it's very difficult to know halach l'maisa. You know, again, there's more we can say, but there's very little in terms of hard guidance and consensus of what you actually have to do more. The value certainly should be there, and exactly how much more you should spend is a tricky question. So I want to conclude with one story that I saw a while back, looked up again today, which I find really really moving, interesting, kind of. That's a Gadol v'Yisrael. Rav Moshe Sternbuch brings that they asked, he was there, he says, when they once asked the Shabina Rav, there was a Jewish, a firm person who had a factory in Netanya. The workers were Jewish, but they were non-observant, they were chilonim. And the factory owner was considering the possibility of relocating his factory to Bnei Brak, where the workers he would get would all be observant Jews. He asked the Shabina Rav, Rav Dov Beresh Wiedenfeld, whether that was a good idea. So Shabina Rav immediately answered, no, it is not. He says, and now the Shabina Rav was no liberal friend of Chilonim, but nevertheless, the immediate answer was no, don't do it. And he said, yeah, all right, he said, the workers are not observant. They're not Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. They have families, he says. They have children. Not the children's fault. He says, the children are innocent children, he says. Parnassa, taking away the parnassa of the kids, that's pikuach nefesh, he says. How can I tell you to do something like this, to prefer workers in Bnei Brak at the expense of these poor children? And that's what Rav Avadia Hadaya is saying also, that even if you're going to tell me that Jews, it's the parents' fault, they're not religious, what about the kids? They're Jews. You have to have them in mind, too.